This is CliffCentral.com.
Yeah. All right. Sia's theme song for the weekend.
Sia's theme song.
That's right.
Sing the theme.
I don't know about this song.
Oh, come on.
But my new theme song is... Just hold on to yourself. Paris Hilton has released a new song.
Oh, wow.
Really?
It's called BFA.
Oh, really? What is that?
My best friend's ass.
Oh, my God. You know, I actually really enjoyed her first album. I'm not lying.
No. She did the cover of Stars Are Blind.
Really? Right?
Yeah.
It's with Dimitri Vegas.
Yes. It's called My Best Friend's Ass.
Oh, wow. There's a trailer video. You want to hear it?
You did it. Walking VIP, don't need no drink. Sick is buddy, I got money.
Milk and honey, all my bitches acting funny. Listen, it's no
worse. Did you lose brain cells watching that?
No. It's bad, but it's, you know what? I saw J-Lo release some new shit song the other day.
Look, I'm joking. I just saw that Paris just has this new song, and J-Lo's
past. Listen to this for shit. J-Lo, really, this woman has just got, she's completely hit rock bottom and now she'll just do anything. I mean, this is a song called Ain't Your Mama. It's so bad.
Isn't that song old now?
I don't know, but it's...
It must be around for ages.
It's only, I don't know, it's a horrible song. I heard it for the first time this week, so maybe it was me who's like behind the wave.
It's the problem when you listen to Jack It Under.
It is so shit.
You hear things late.
It's just so shit. Like, the lyrics are crap. I mean, I don't know what the... Shame. Like, what is her thing here? Actually, J-Lo, you're old enough to be everybody's mama, even though you're hot. Just stop it. What are you drawing attention to that for?
You say she's hit rock bottom.
She's
well,
boring. She's boring. I don't mean she's hit rock bottom in terms of money or career. Like, she's just creatively bankrupt.
Well, the movie Made in Manhattan was her pinnacle, really.
Ugh.
Oh.
Oh, J-Lo.
It was.
J-Lo's
she'll look back and that's it.
She's moving into the territory of being really annoying.
I would not be upset if I woke up and I was her.
No, sure. No, she's...
But just on the music front.
The music front is so... Yeah. It's just such manufactured crap.
Well, she doesn't need to do it anymore.
Well, maybe this latest scandal is going to cause some excitement in her life. Because, you know, J-Lo's now engaged to Alex Rodriguez.
A-Rod.
A-Rod, the former baseball player, but now he's more known about who he dates and where he goes out to party in town. Yeah. And they have this amazing Manhattan apartment in New York City. It's really exclusive, really expensive, has all the nuts and bolts of a mansion in the city, except for one thing. This apartment of theirs overlooks the city and faces a very prominent hedge fund building in Manhattan as well. And they have all of their windows blacked out except for one window. This is the window that
should have been blacked out in the beginning.
That should have been blacked out, but that is a window in their bathroom. So now it seems there is someone or a group of people who work at the hedge fund company opposite their building who have several photos. For now, they've only released photos of Alex Rodriguez sitting on the can in the loo.
Oh, my God.
He's on the can. You got to see these pictures. Because you got to see these pictures to believe it. Because why you would... You can put that stuff... There's a film you can put on where you can see out, but people can't see it. Right?
It's like those toilets on the runway in one of the slow lounges.
In Cape Town.
A loo with a view.
Yeah. Mm. So A-Rod, you could see him sitting on the can and he's got his monogrammed A towel next to the loo.
This is so bad.
And he's taking a big shit. Mm-hmm. And
he's wearing a blue shirt. His trousers are down. He also has his phone in his hand, so he's busy texting.
First of all, how invasive. You know, one time you expect to be left alone. You've bought this apartment. It's at 420 Park Avenue, which is a beautiful part of New York. Very expensive apartments there. Big windows. You know, in New York, you go high up in these buildings. The whole point of being high up in the buildings is for the view. And he's on the can enjoying the view. And there's some creep in the building next door at a hedge fund company. And he's taking pictures of A-Rod on the can.
I would.
Yeah.
You're disgusting.
Well, who knows how many more photos like this these people or this person has. And they're slowly just releasing it. The A-Rod's lawyers are all over this. They're trying to sue the entire company. And there's several other tenants in that building. But you can't sue a whole company for this. It's just a creep or two.
But this apartment's got 4.5 bathrooms.
And he
always goes on that one.
So he could use the other bathrooms.
Mm-hmm. What a bit of a
dodo. $17.5 million apartment by the estimation that I've just seen. That's expensive.
Not expensive enough to get a screen.
I often wonder, like, there's this dude across the road here.
Yeah.
There's a guy who lives, like, basically in the house opposite where we broadcast.
Doesn't he exercise naked on the patio?
He's done that before.
Somebody was, airing their weave out the other day.
Oh, right.
And they were shaking it out like a feather duster.
And sometimes he's looking at us, obviously. We're not aware.
Well, there was that.
But we don't do embarrassing. This is our workplace. We're not.
Yeah.
It's not like we're getting naked or taking a shit.
Well,
let's not forget Samson City.
Alan Ford's show. Good point.
Where those two were bust having sex.
On the roof, yeah.
No, blowjob. Sorry, it was
blowjob. Blowjobs, yeah. Let's get. You're a newswoman. Be professional.
Got to get the sex bit right.
Wow. All right, so let's get into some news stories. There are important things going on in the world, believe it or not. Three Germans this week. We've left this story for a few days to make sure it wasn't fake news.
Yeah.
Three Germans found dead by crossbow this week. So everyone is immediately thinking, well, Tyrion Lannister.
Yeah.
Obviously.
It's such a weird...
A crossbow.
Weapon.
A crossbow.
Yeah. And now the details are emerging. Not only was it found that they were jousting enthusiasts.
Oh, it's a very medieval thing going on here.
But they are part of a medieval sex circle.
Wow. That sounds like it's quite a lot of fun.
you know, when Germans, everything goes right for them, they get bored. They start looking for different things to do.
Yeah. You don't want a bored German.
Yeah. Two additional bodies have now been found. One of them was at one of the victims' apartments.
Oh,
so
my God.
It's definitely linked. But yeah, the photographs of them carrying out these corpses under red... tarpaulins and putting them into the backs of vans.
Good heavens.
It's just, you know, it's quite scary. They were all the three bodies that were found initially were all impaled by crossbows. While hunting with crossbows is apparently illegal in Germany, you don't need a license to own one. Okay, so one of the deceased was a woman. She was found near a bed with a bolt in her neck.
Oh, my God.
The other two, a man and a woman, had been shot in the heart.
Oh, like Danny's dragons.
In a passionate embrace.
Oh, my God.
The three were later identified as Torsten Weiss, aged 53, Kirsten Enders, 33, and Farina Kaspari, 30.
Oh, I think I knew Karina.
Oh, did you?
Well, no, I sounded like it. I should say something empathetic. No?
So, yeah, they believe that the case was a result of a requested killing and suicide.
Oh.
Suggesting that Kaspari shot Weiss and Enders before taking her own life.
Good heavens.
So then things got weirder, even weirder, 5 days later, when two more victims were found at Kaspari's apartment, hundreds of miles away. The cause of death has not been revealed. Crossbows were not present at the scene. One of the victims was reportedly Kaspari's girlfriend. The other was a 19-year-old woman whose identity has not been confirmed.
What a strange story.
The guy, Weiss, he reportedly owned a store in Hachenburg in Germany, which sold weapons and offered sword fighting classes. Although judging by the photos of the store, which feature such sundry items such as a sexy blood-splattered mannequin, a Knights of Templar flag, and a guitar. It seems the decor and the theme are a little bit confusing.
Strange dude. There are some funny people around, huh?
There really are.
You know these people who dress up and reenact...
Like, cosplayers.
But no, but the ones who reenact these battles. And they go to the trouble of finding exactly the same fabric they would have used on a uniform in like 1800... And they get the armor made,
yeah.
And they get the guns, and it's just flintlock guns, and you know, you put in the gunpowder and you stoke the thing, and I mean, it's just unbelievable the amount of, like, you have to be a super mega ultra uber geek
Yeah.
To be that into it. And I think a lot of those people struggle to get laid.
Well, not these ones. They were part of a sex circle, remember?
Yeah, but that's the thing. It's contrived, Leanne. But it's when you've got to contrive a sex circle, it ends in death.
No. Maybe they just have to have a circle of sex because they don't get sex.
Hmm. These Germans, says somebody on the messages. If their pilots don't fly planes full of people to die, they have crossbow massacre parties. Yeah, and everybody thinks, you know, well, Germans are so together. Oh, they're very messy. Very messy people, just like everybody on Earth.
Have we spoken about Game of Thrones on this show?
You know what, Ben? We spoke a little bit about it yesterday. We spoke about how Gord thinks that it's wrong to talk about it before a week has gone by. But that's bullshit. And anyone who after, how many days is it now? 5 days since the episode came out? If you're not talking about it now, I don't know. You must be living under a rock.
If you haven't watched it, you're not much of a fan. So therefore, a spoiler is not going to ruin your day.
Yeah, so let's talk about it because Ben has theories about Game of Thrones.
So what, is there one more episode
left? There's one more episode at the end. I tell you what, it cannot save things. This show has become such a shower of shit in the
I don't agree.
It's just all...
Everyone was so excited in the beginning. What's happened?
Because it had a trajectory of like greatness, and it's just like, well, okay, let's kill that person, let's do that. It's almost like the fight choreographer has been killed by a crossbow and couldn't get to work unless she choreographed the scene, so they're just ending like... Oh, that dragon can just kill 3,000 people, and that building can just fall on that person.
Well, Nobile called in on Monday or Tuesday, and he pretty much agrees with Ben. He thinks it's also gone to shit. All his favorite characters, their whole story arc has just been shortened tremendously.
What has Jon Snow done? Jon Snow has suddenly become PSB post 2007.
Nothing. He's just around. He's a prop.
He's just standing there. It's not right.
Well... Maybe this final episode is his moment to shine, you know?
But even then, like, there's nothing to salvage. Everything has gone to shit. It's kind of like Cyril taking over the ANC. He can do whatever he wants, but, I mean, there's nothing left anymore. It's just this ashes and crap.
That's a very good comparison, Ben.
So this final episode has to have lightning bolts coming out of everyone's orifies. And it's just too far gone.
They need like Thor from the Avengers to make a surprise appearance.
They've gone full Proteas at the World Cup here. They were doing well.
Oh, these sports
analogies. And is this an international opinion?
Well, I mean, look, it depends where you go and find your news. But, you know, the same can be said, and I know we've referenced this before. It's like the best James Bonds were based on the books, right?
Mm-hmm.
The best Game of Thrones were based on the books. Mm-hmm. Then they literally held that George R.R. Martin guy. And they said, right, you shall write more books, otherwise we'll crossbow you in your heart.
Oh, no.
And he's like, ah, shit, I'm going to whittle these things out. I mean, how long did it take him to write all those books originally? Many, many years.
Many years. He basically had no sex life and hardly any outings.
But everything was able to, like, sort of percolate and really grow. Then he's like, all right, George, how's next Tuesday?
Six episodes by Wednesday.
Yeah,
you get cracking on that.
Here's cocaine and coffee. Let's make it happen. And he's like, well, what am I going to do here? So it's just a real shame how this story was going to be the greatest story. And now it's like,
wow.
It's Africa's democracy, maybe. There's another analogy for you. Started out great. Everyone was so excited about it. And ultimately, no effort. Just not enough time to do things.
Well, I don't know. Let's bear in mind, like a lot of people are saying, well, the fact that these two producers, the two guys who've basically been shepherding Game of Thrones throughout the whole story, throughout all the seasons, Benioff and someone else, then a David someone. Anyway, these two have been asked to do the new Star Wars trilogy. So they are rearing to go. They're going to be paid a lot of money by Disney to ruin the next Star Wars trilogy.
Another example, right. Because the original work is now past.
Correct. And so maybe that's why they're in a hurry. They need to get finished with this Game of Thrones thing. But I have to say, I'm loving it. I just love it. The epic scale of everything. Beautiful film. Just beautiful work.
It's better than watching Van Gogh. But
the acting is spectacular. That dwarf is such a goddamn brilliant actor. What's his real name?
Peter Dinklage.
Peter Dinklage.
That's like a real dwarf name.
What a fucking actor that guy is. He is such an actor.
He's going to battle going to roll past this.
I get emotional.
Jeepers.
Peter Dinklage. What an actor.
I thought you were going to say Peter Little.
And that Danny, that Khaleesi. Emilia Clarke.
She's probably the best actress. Oh, how she's controlled those eyebrows for this long.
She uses them that well in every role that she does. Yeah, and if she's just interviewed by like a talk show host, it's a natural thing for her.
No, but I'm saying in the show she controls them.
Yes.
They
don't go wild.
Yeah. Like in real life, they go wild. It's distracting looking at her.
Anyway. All right, well, listen, if you're a big fan of the show, then you're going to obviously watch the final episode. And if you hate it, then you're going to be cross. Oh, I'm going to be so cross for a week. And if you love it, then you'll love it.
Look, another thing that makes it more difficult for them is the expectation is so much higher. Everybody watched the show, they're on a journey, and now they know it's finishing. It just goes to show Breaking Bad was the greatest show ever because they managed to keep it together.
Ash says, I disagree with you, Ben. They're finishing the story. They're going to be massive twists and most of the characters will die. It is winding down. This is how it was always going to end.
Of course they're finishing the story, but they're doing it with the finesse of a drunk rhinoceros.
Fine, but isn't this the whole Game of Thrones thing's always been about these twists, these like, oh my god moments. I can't believe they did that.
Isn't her burning down all
the people and just turning into this fucking horrible autocrat, isn't that exactly the twist you wanted?
Mm-hmm.
These Germans, someone says, I can't believe no more stories about Germans. It depresses me. And then somebody commenting on Sia's song earlier saying, what a horrible song. I thought I walked into Presley's by mistake. Thanks for the show, Dre. All right, Dre. All right. some other stories in the news. Let's see what we got here. The healthiest alcoholic drink you can order at the bar. I sometimes think about this. I felt so fat this week. You just have a week where you feel fat. You don't know whether you necessarily are.
Well, you have lots of weeks where you are fat.
Yes, I do. Thanks for that.
No, you're I was so not speaking about you.
Thank you. No, just wait. I am. No, I felt fat this week. I felt bloated and fat and so disgusted in myself. I couldn't bear to look in the mirror.
Oh,
it's horrible.
Oh, no.
Such revulsion.
Well, yours wouldn't have been caused by drinking the wrong things.
Well, I drink tequila.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. That's all. That's my list. Yeah. Nothing else.
It's not the healthiest type of alcohol, though.
What is?
Red wine.
No.
Which is my choice of tipple.
Really? I had two glasses last night. I don't feel healthy.
Red wine.
Okay.
So we're putting calories aside.
All right.
So it's actually nothing to do with calories. This has got to do with the source of vitamins and minerals or whatever that you can find in these drinks, right? Red wine has polyphenols.
Right.
I've heard about those. Yes.
Polyphenols.
Yes.
Which is a subset of antioxidants. Yes. So like resveratrol, which you can use on your skin, which inhibits cancerous cell growth and prevents blood vessel damage.
Ah.
Also contains quercetin, which has an anti-inflammatory property that may help prevent lung disease. So good if you're a smoker.
I love this. This is Leanne's annual wine's good for you, and she uses these words.
Yes.
Same time next year, we'll get the same story out of her.
Look, if you're going to have a drink, it might as well be the one that prevents lung disease, right?
Sure.
Ideally.
Keep fooling yourself.
Second healthiest option, rum.
No.
Well, it's been fighting scurvy for years. The sailors swear by it. Also, sharpens up the syphilis.
It's made from fermented molasses and pressed sugar cane, ingredients that may help to reduce anxiety, fight muscle pain, and even prevent diseases like osteoporosis and Alzheimer's.
But rum has to make you fat.
This is not about the calories.
I know, but still, it's got to make you fat, which is not good in the long run. I mean, rum is just sugar.
Rum won't make you fat. It's the three pizzas you have after that.
Okay.
That makes you fat. Mm. Rum will make you make fat decisions.
Are you spying on me? What? Rum and then three pizzas. How do you know this?
I can tell by your breath.
Your bathroom doesn't have tinted windows where you scoff in private.
Imagine scoffing three pizzas and a bottle of rum in your bathroom. Then your life really is over, even if you're A-Rod.
Yeah. Okay, bronze medal goes to tequila.
Oh, thank you.
So you're on the list.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Because
I love you,
the agavins Jesus. From the blue agave plant or agave plant won't raise your blood sugar.
No.
So it's very good for people who have not that diabetics should drink, but if they do,
that's the one.
It's probably the one.
Yeah, but they never mention the really important thing about tequila. It just makes everybody feel better. And tequila is always going to make everyone more interesting, even if they're very boring to start.
Your last choice at the bar, anything involving a mixer. Your pina coladas.
Yeah, and beers. I think beers are completely overrated. Ben is a big craft beer fan. He's trying them all this year. I think beer's dreadful. Never seen...
Well, that's because you're just too good for us, aren't you, Gareth?
Too good for you.
Yeah. You're just too good for us.
Yeah, I am.
Look at you scoffing at beer. Beer's got people through stuff since...
Beer's basically food. You can get by with having a Guinness instead of a meal.
Since 407 BC, beer's been getting you the next day. And here you are, just pissing all over it.
Also, something to remember is not to mix your hard stuff with diet mixes.
Oh.
Remember that study in 2013?
You fully know one.
Which showed that people who combined their booze with diet drinks had a blood alcohol concentration 18% higher than subjects who used full sugar mixes.
Oof. All right, so rather go for the normal Coke than the Coke Zero. Who knew?
Does have red wine.
All right. We've got someone in here this morning, which I'm very excited about. We've spoken to her before. You remember Claire Petra, everybody? You remember Claire Petra Mathis from the Gadget Girl, essentially?
Yes.
what were you saying?
Just say yes,
please. Of course we remember you. So it's been a big week in the tech world this week.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, WhatsApp hacks have happened. Some tech firms want to stamp out violent comments, which means they're going to become the censor board, which frightens the hell out of me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, imagine Mark Zuckerberg, who already knows everything that he shouldn't know.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's going to tell us what we shouldn't know. And we want to recap all of this. So we've got the Gadget Girl. You can find her online, Gadget, G-A-L, Gadget Girl. And Claire, it's very nice to see you again.
Thank you for having me.
Yes. What have you been up to?
Just musing about, you know how it is, reviewing phones, looking at stuff.
Now, are there any, before we get into this bad news and these hacks and everything else, what are the exciting things that you're turned on by at the moment, tech-wise? What's going on?
Oh, turned on.
Yeah, go on. I know this is true for you.
Look, I'm very excited about sort of the smartphone industry, a lot of people challenging each other. Samsung going up against Huawei, and we're going to see what's going on there.
Is it still cameras and...
Cameras. I mean, it's very exciting stuff. The stuff that they're putting in those little machines is pretty amazing. The other thing I thought was quite interesting, I've just had a meeting with Fujifilm, and they are trying to... We were there, and a group of people, and the guy was asking about the one-minute Photoshops. Remember the one-minute labs?
Yes.
Yeah, I was one of the person that said yes, and half the people None said never even heard of it. So they're going to bring those back, I think.
I just bought a Fujifilm camera.
No.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
You're joking.
Yeah.
The printing one or just take photos?
The TX3.
Oh, nice. Very nice.
XT3, sorry. Cock that up.
Mirrorless
camera. Now you don't sound so sharp.
And yes, I'm looking at your face. You're looking at me like I just bought an Overwrite Low machine.
What the hell?
Yeah, so I think the concept of bringing back printed pictures, you know, they make a good point. What are people going to look at in a couple of years' time? You're not going to have the photos anymore.
Come on. When someone hands you a photo album, your life just ebbs away from you.
That's quite funny because one of the guys at Fuji was saying, yeah, but you'd rather look through a photo album than somebody's camera phone, you know, the gallery.
I don't want either.
It would reinvigorate.
Really?
It would reinvigorate send nudes. It would put the personal touch there. Now we got you back in the game.
Send nudes, and you actually have an album. You have a book of all the nudes.
No, you actually have a nice presentation of a nude.
Yeah, in a book.
Tasteful.
With frames and everything.
They're big on the, putting glitter and fixing, all the crafty stuff. Scrapbooking. See, yeah, they're big on that kind of stuff.
And you can't share the nude because then you lose the nude. Smart.
So this is like the blockchain of photographs. Here we go. Really?
Yeah, don't know if I want to be scrapbooking my nudes. No thanks.
Very exciting stuff.
Oh, come on, Sia. That would be a great coffee table book. People come and sit down in your apartment, and they go, this glass of wine is really nice. Let me see what coffee table book Sia's got here, and it's all his conquests.
It's a boudoir photo
dick
shoot.
The problem though is if you buy one of the ones that just shoot and print, you're kind of wasting film. Because you've been spending 200 Rand on 10 sheets of film.
Yeah.
And to get the right angles and the right, you'd really have to.
But how many people have you slept with in your life? If it's 10, that's worth
one,
every single.
One, my husband, one. That's
one. Oh, sure, you will buy that. Obviously, since you've been married.
Oh, look, we're opposites.
Leanne would need like 12 volumes.
Leanne would have to have a compendium. In fact, she'd need a bookshelf.
A library.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. She's saying she doesn't sleep with her husband either.
Them as well.
Because husbands, yeah.
But going back to this, it does force you to become a better photographer, though, which is also a thing. Because nowadays, we just point our phones at everything.
Point and click.
Everything.
Yeah.
And then choose the best one.
After 73.
Yeah, you can't do that here because it prints out exactly what you've taken.
So it's still about the number of megapixels you've got in a photograph.
Yeah.
It's still about the clarity, the filters, all of that stuff, right?
Yeah,
and it really is a precision art. There are apps that you can do everything.
Yeah,
you can insert the Khaleesi's dragons into a photograph.
And the amazing thing is a lot of photographers, not the Fujifilm side of things, but a lot of photographers are moving over to having a Huawei or a Samsung phone. I mean, not only those two, but those are, you know, Huawei's are doing really well at the moment.
Yeah, I hear people like their cameras.
50 times optical zoom and things like that. It's really, really good stuff, you know.
You can zoom into...
A-Rod.
A-Rod taking a dump in his...
You'd be able to see what he's looking at on his phone.
That's right. That's how good the zoom is. That's phenomenal. I mean, a pair of binoculars couldn't even get 50 times zoom.
No, that's what they were saying. And, you know, instead of schlepping the huge lenses around and things like that, which, you know...
Ben is a bit of an old school guy when it comes to that. He likes the old camera.
He has to schlep his big
lens binoculars. He uses them in trees.
No, but okay. So I went and I got myself a newer phone. Went Android and it's a lovely phone. And I've gone back to my old iPhone and I've just got my camera and then the app on here. And I take pictures with a camera now because it forced me to take better pictures and have less pictures.
Oh wow! Okay.
Rather than just snapping everything like a mongoloid.
Okay.
So I've gone back to a phone that literally just houses my photo app rather than having a decent camera.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Hmm. All right, so let's talk about WhatsApp, because this is everybody, the bane of our existence, right? We can't do without it. It's how we connect to our family, our friends, our work groups, our neighborhood watch groups. It's just everything. And if you subscribe to 10 groups, you get hundreds of notifications a day, and really it tells everybody.
Thank God for mute a group, I suppose, hey?
Even that, but then they still pop up. You just don't get the notifications.
Yeah.
So they're still there all the time, adding little numbers to the screen. But you can't do without it.
No.
And here's the hard thing, is if someone hacked into your WhatsApp, they would know everything about you. They would know who your friends are, what kind of sense of humor you have.
Yeah, the inappropriate jokes and things.
Sure, they'd know the stuff that was going on in your neighborhood.
Most of us would go to jail.
They would know. They would know your family situation. They'd know all the things that you do and don't want people to know about you, which really shouldn't be anyone's business but your own. And when they have a hack, it makes some people terrifically uncomfortable. There's this end-to-end encryption, which we believe works.
Mm.
But this hack?
Mm.
What happened?
So I wanted to start out by saying that I don't think the story is as serious as everyone's making it out to be, but maybe it'll open people's eyes up to the fact that maybe you should look after your phone a bit better and maybe have some sort of like Kaspersky or security system on your phone so that, you know, you can't break into the phone too quickly.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's literally less than, of the 1.5 billion people that have WhatsApp, it's less than 12 people that have been hacked. And they are really high-profile human rights lawyers and, you know, those kind, that the information that obviously...
Is George Clooney's wife?
Somebody wants to,
Was it her?
No. But it's somebody like her. So, you know, it was a UK-based human rights lawyer and he obviously...
What a boring person to be. If you could hack anyone's phone, it wouldn't be her.
But that's the information you want, isn't it?
What, a human rights lawyer?
Well, maybe
you're... come on. They must be 9 billionth in line.
But doesn't it just smell of, like, corporate espionage? Because basically, who are you, if you're hacking that kind of person, you want the information that they've got. Because then you get access to... It's not just your WhatsApp. You get access to emails, microphones, phone calls, all that kind of stuff.
Who's the biggest suspect here? Zuckerberg himself. He owns WhatsApp.
I don't know.
Put him on trial?
Yeah, maybe.
Again.
Look, he's not my favorite.
What do you think of Mark Zuckerberg? Do you trust him with all of this information?
Look, I don't. I think
he's a 60%.
How can I be diplomatic here?
60% shareholder.
Yeah.
So he can do anything he wants in the company. He pretty much runs it like an empire. There is an advisory board, but they really just advise. Mm-hmm. He makes all the decisions. He's still got all the controls in front of him. He's reluctant to have anyone interfere in that.
Mm-hmm.
And he's very iffy about how much information he gives about their actual internal operations.
It's like
their algorithms.
Elon Musk, who just likes to be in control of everything. There's obviously like a huge ego behind it, and they just want to have control of everything, all the information, even if they don't use it or whatever it is. You know, he obviously thinks it's his baby. If you think about how he went about it as well, you can understand of creating Facebook. You can understand why he'd be so protective of hanging on to it.
Because he realized he just lucked out. There's nothing exceptional about Mark Zuckerberg.
Look, he's built it into a more exceptional product, but it's just, you know, he definitely took someone else's idea and ran with it, you know, as we know.
That's right. That's exactly what happened. Yeah. Remember that movie, The Social Network, right?
Yeah.
Okay, but we don't have to worry too much, but just make sure you don't leave your phone lying around, and make sure there's some kind of protection on it. It has to be more than just the normal pass key, right?
And the thing as well is, I mean, it's unlikely that any of us, you know, commoners, dare I say, will be hacked, you know, by them. But I think, you know, things to look out for. It's also very difficult to tell whether you've been hacked. But things to look out for is like huge data transfers on your phone. You know, if you've realized a lot of files being pulled off your phone, and your battery draining really quickly.
How would you know about your files being pulled off your phone?
Well, you can I get a warning as to how many meg I've used or how many gig I've used.
So usage.
Yeah, if I use more than 3 in a month, because obviously I'm constantly on Wi-Fi. Mm-hmm. If I use more than that, I kind of think something iffy going on here, or it's at least a warning for me. And battery as well, especially if you haven't been using your phone and your battery's draining really quickly. You know, it's maybe
it's just the story of my life.
Okay, well let's talk about the other big thing. Because they've said that they're going to get together all of these big companies: Google, Facebook,
Amazon, Twitter,
they're all banding together. This is a very powerful group of companies. They are going to get together and decide what the rules of free speech are online.
So initially, I didn't know what opinion to have. I think it's a great thing to maybe try and curb terrorism and, you know, to see if you can stop it in its tracks or whatever, any kind of attacks.
Well, this comes from the Christchurch massacre, where this lunatic went into two mosques in New Zealand.
Yes.
And he shot the place up and he filmed it. He was on Facebook Live during the whole event. It was horrifying footage. Millions of people across the world saw it as it happened, and in subsequent releases, Facebook tried to close it down and ban it and stop it. But of course, by then the genie was out of the bottle.
Yeah.
So this put all of them in an awkward position because they're in some way facilitating this guy's notoriety.
Yes.
And his clear psychopathic problems.
Mm.
So they have to do something, but doing too much here could end up being a worse move than doing nothing.
Yes. So it does – you are kind of put in a predicament as an individual, because do you think – you know, you do think – yes, let's put an end to terrorist attacks and that kind of thing. But then do you also wonder how much are we censoring? How much are you going to stop me from saying? How much can I say? And also, am I on the right side? You know?
And sometimes you drive this stuff underground.
Yes.
And then it's even more dangerous.
It's even more dangerous. It comes back tenfold, you know?
You know, 4chan, for example, none of them are on there.
No.
There's a lot of dodgy stuff that goes on there. There's the dark web, which we know. That's where you can order assassinations and you can hire prostitutes and you can influence governments. You can do all kinds of nefarious things. And no one's in control of that.
No.
And for Facebook to imagine that they're the saviors who are going to stop all this stuff is kind of crazy.
Well, yeah. And I wonder if it's maybe more of a PR exercise as well, rather than, you know, just to make themselves look good and feel good and give themselves a pat on the back, rather than actually having a huge interest in curbing. I mean, that sounds maybe a bit harsh, but I think the PR side of things is a huge part of it. If you think about it, anyone that's sort of any sort of extremist or terrorist, or they're going to find the information, they're going to find the groups they need to belong to, whether they've got Facebook or not. You know, they're going to find the WhatsApp groups to belong to,
and they'll keep moving to new platforms and keep opening
up. Going.
Totally.
Keep fluid never caught.
Well, they're fighting their good fight. You know, they think they're on the right track. Yeah. So it is very difficult. But then, So that was initially when I saw. But then when you look at the 9 points, points are actually quite fair.
Okay.
Let me just open it.
Yeah, give us an idea of what these 9 points are.
So things of terms of use, they're going to change the terms of use. So again, you kind of feel like, okay, I'm signing up to Facebook and now I have to live by their rules, you know, but then again, it's Facebook and it's their rules, or it's Amazon and it's their, you know, you kind
otherwise,
of have to play by their.
You don't like it, get off the
exactly,
platform. Sure.
Exactly.
Okay.
User reporting is good, enhancing the technology to sort of stop stuff like that in its track. So that, you know, that's a great initiative, I think, on their part to say, look, we're going to try and figure out ways to get this, get at the stuff before it gets out there, which is
nip it in the bud.
Exactly, fantastic. The live streaming, same thing. They're going to commit to try and identify things that can and can't be live streamed, or you know, shut things down immediately. Again, the worry is that we're being censored. But then again, who wants to see a massacre? You know, what wants to see something like that?
That's crossing the boundaries of what's necessary.
My favorite one of the nine is transparency. I think they're going to be very open with each other and share information with each other, and I think that's sort of exciting, especially where these kind of huge companies come in, because you want to be transparency is a great thing.
It makes people suspicious.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. So you know, those are five of the 9 points, which is quite they seemed fair. I think if you sign up for Facebook or you sign up to use AWS or whatever it is, Twitter, you have to adhere to these rules, and I think that's kind of fair. So.
All right.
It makes me wonder if another social media is going to jump up for terrorists themselves, but who knows?
Yeah, of course,
you know?
Terrorbook. Terrorbook. Come on here and watch us murder people. Yeah, I don't know what kind of people would want to.
Flippin' scary, but anyway.
You know, this is
the Germans, maybe. No, I'm joking. I'm joking.
The ones with crossbows.
Right, the medieval things.
Let's just quickly, you mentioned smartphone sales. So they're up 7.2%.
Last year.
In 2018.
Yes.
So that's good for South Africa.
It's very good.
Good sign.
I was chatting this morning about it, just sort of going through my ideas and not to myself, to my husband. And we were just kind of wondering, like, how have smartphone sales gone up in a recession? And, you know, you do kind of wonder what's going on here and how is that even possible? And, you know, the point could be that maybe it shows that either, you know, South Africa has a culture of trying to keep up with the Joneses and have the best of the best, or does it mean that the rich really are rich and the poor really are staying poor? So it just there's all these kinds of, you know.
No, I would say that it's just the most important tool anyone has.
It is, really, and you I think it makes you look good, you know.
I don't know if it's so much image, because people, this tool is so important to everybody, young, old, rich, poor, whoever you are. Your phone is the most used thing you have, more than a car or you know, the running.
I'm glad you say that.
It really is. It's all of those things. This matters more than anything else. So if you're going to spend money on anything, this is the one you spend money on. Maybe that's what it is.
But you don't even have to spend money. I mean, there's a company called Mobicell. I mean, their phones are really cheap and they do really well through Edgar's Edcon. So you're obviously buying it on a store card contract, or you're buying a Vodacom contract, and it's really, I mean, those phones are good and quite reasonable.
Also,
Honor is another one that's really quite reasonable, excellent phone. So you're getting like flagship stuff for like 4,000 or 5,000 rand, which is really fantastic, I think. So
I need to ask you something I thought of the other day. Can somebody use Face ID if you are sleeping?
I don't think so, because you need the eye. The eyes need to be open.
What if
they
prize your eye open?
Are you not going to wake up if someone does that to you?
But wouldn't they use your fingerprint rather?
I just suddenly thought that would be funny.
Yeah.
If someone was.
I wonder how many people.
Like husbands and wives, you know, they're lying there in bed next to each other and she's just fallen asleep and he's like, I'm going to check your phone. He holds the phone over her face and it lets him in.
It'd be interesting. I do wonder. I don't think so. I think you have to have the eyes open. I think the. Yeah,
but
that's your shape of your eyes as well.
Yeah, with your fingerprint, I think a lot of people might have done this.
Yeah,
with fingerprints.
While someone else is sleeping.
For sure, because if someone lifts your hand to put it to your phone, you're not really going to feel that if you're sleeping.
No.
Maybe if you're a light sleeper.
Or if you're curled up in a position, you just try and get the phone
tapped correctly. My phone doesn't recognize me if I put on sunglasses sometimes. Some sunglasses it's okay, and others it's not.
Yeah, mine doesn't recognize me with makeup on. So wow, that's always a problem for me.
You've got to put on a face every time you want to use your phone.
Somebody wants to know, speaking of smartphones and cameras, what do you think about the new OnePlus 7 Pro? I want to get an unlocked one from Amazon. Would downloading Google Cam improve its camera?
See, I don't like buying phones from overseas just because we might not have the support over here. I don't believe in bringing stuff in. You're better off hanging on to stuff, getting stuff locally. And I know we don't have the range of OnePlus 7
Pro.
I think it's supposed to be a great phone. Okay. I haven't seen it, haven't played with it, but yeah, I like going for local stuff because if there's a problem, you can go back to people locally and just say what's going on. You know,
have we had this breakthrough in wearables yet?
What breakthrough in wearables?
I mean, everybody's been talking about how ultimately in the next. This was 2 years ago. The next 5 years, everyone's going to be wearing some sort of device. I'm not talking about a watch, but something that does everything. It's just, it's a payment vehicle. It's everything. It still hasn't happened.
No, it's on its way, though. I mean, you can pay with your watch and things like that. So your wearables are still just your watch at the moment. I know, again, Huawei's bringing out sunglasses that are supposed to be fantastic. I think one of the hosts at their launch thought it took photos. It doesn't take photos, but it'll like answer the phone for you and things like that. And that's kind of exciting, really.
Well, stick around. We're going to talk to George Meany, who's currently at the London Motor Show. And George, of course, is the host and the CEO of Auto Central and CliffCentral.com. Hey, George, how's London? Oh.
it's still ringing.
George, how's it?
Good, and you go?
Good. This is a clearer line than we get sometimes from down the road in Rivonia.
Well, we are in London, and hopefully there's some fiber here.
Very good. So tell me about the London Motor Show. You're there now.
Yeah, I am here now. And today is the first public day. Yesterday was the press day.
Mm-hmm.
And the history of this event, believe it or not, it started out as being a horse sales carriage show.
Wow.
Back in 1896. So it was Britain's first motoring show in the form of horse carriages. And then it carried on and on and on, and then eventually died in popularity. And a couple of years ago, in the early 2010s, it was revived. And last year it was rebranded to the London Motor and Tech Show. So they introduced two new pieces, which the first one was Britain's cars. So they've got a section dedicated to cars made in Britain. And then the part that I'm most interested in was a tech lane where they showcase all of the electric cars and technology that are in cars today.
Hmm. Ben likes the idea of old carriages and horses.
Oh, yeah, George, I mean, it's funny you say it because last year Charles and Camilla actually went there for a new carriage and they were turned away. Very upset.
They probably had to drive away with an I-Pace or a Tesla.
Yeah.
God. How undignified.
They had to go for extra chips just to make Camilla happy again.
All right, so what do you see there that's cool?
Well, I mean, I was most interested in the tech stand yesterday and the I-Pace. I-Pace has come to South Africa this year, and I think it's an amazing car. I think people don't realize how good that car really is. And I think looking at it almost next to Tesla, it could give Tesla a go. It's very expensive, but it could give Tesla a go. The other interesting thing at the show is I'm here and I got to meet the judges from the World Women's Car of the Year.
Wow, the women's car.
So what's that designed by a woman?
So many, many moons ago.
No, it's got a space for your handbag, sweetie.
Oh, thank just you. I'll consider it.
And your brick.
Let the men talk, all right? We'll come back to you in a minute when we talk about the upholstery. Just hold on a sec. And you shut up, too. Both of you women, just you quiet up.
I love kittens. They're so soft.
Yes, they come in pink.
All right, George, tell us about the car, and then we'll let the women weigh in on the upholstery, all right?
Then we'll get into the cat show. The Women's World Car of the Year. So many moons ago, women weren't allowed to be judges in World Car of the Year.
What, they're allowed now?
What? I don't know if we're ready yet.
This isn't a drawing room, dear. This is a very complicated piece of machinery with a rotary engine and internal combustion. What on earth could you possibly know about it?
Oh, I don't know much about that, but I do like the seats. They're so comfy.
What pretty stitching.
So what are they, suddenly allowing these women to judge the cars? What next?
Well, the answer to that is yes, and I brought along with me one of South Africa's most well-known journalists, Charlene Clark.
A woman?
And a woman, exactly.
Was she allowed to fly?
She was indeed. And
surely they
British
put her
Airways.
In the cargo hold, no? I mean, she's a woman and a journalist. They don't bother with people
and
like
a journalist. Exactly, exactly. So she's one of the judges for Women's World Car of the Year. And what each country does is for the winning car, they send across a woman journalist representative to the show. And the ladies get together and then present the award to the winning car. And this year it's the Volvo XC40 that won Women's World Car of the Year. So that was pretty interesting yesterday. There's some more on with Women's World Car of the Year this morning. And then they've also got World Supercar. And that was interesting, which is the McLaren F720.
Oh, that sounds like a man's
720S.
Car. All right, that sounds like a man's car.
Your
Tell
voice
us about
even
that.
Deepened there.
Yeah, go on.
So I didn't get into the car yesterday. I'm going to try and get into the car today and film the inside of the car. But it was a bright orange. I don't know whether that is any, you know, particular racing orange. But I think the McLaren is prettier than the Ferrari.
Really? Very controversial, George.
I think it's prettier than the Ferrari, to be honest. And they have an old Lamborghini Countach here. I don't know if you remember the Lamborghini Countach.
I've had an itchy one before.
Not a Lamborghini one? Yes, of course. There was a famous, and it was a big car in the 80s. They like to put it in TV shows and in movies in the 80s.
Yes, yes. So they've got a new Lamborghini parked next to a Countach. And then another favorite car that seems to be following me around the world is the DeLorean.
Oh, wow. Still, huh? Back to the future.
Mm-hmm. Back to the future. They have a DeLorean here, so today I want to go and have a look at that. And then they have done up what is a Hummer come monster truck, which is kind of, for me, it looks like a little American corner, and they've got a big American rig in one of the corners with this Hummer. The size of the wheels of this Hummer take me to my shoulders.
Wow.
So it is a humongous black Hummer.
Leanne
likes like a
that.
Hummer.
I've seen one of those in a nightclub before.
Surely they don't let women in those. I mean,
nice big black Hummers.
A woman in control of a big black Hummer like that's dangerous, right? I mean,
something.
Where, for example, they don't have a special area to put your knitting needles or your cup of tea.
When you see the whole thing, you say, "Oh, is that all for me?"
George, this sounds pretty good, but the Americans sound like they've got the biggest stand there, right?
Well, no, actually, the electric car lane is the biggest area at the show at the moment, because it takes up the length of one of the sides of the hall.
Yes.
The part where this big Hummer is parked is all of the modified cars. They've got sound systems and all of the aftermarket stuff. Whereas the main hall has all of the factory made cars, but electric cars are dominate the show. You know, almost every stand. The Nissan stand is there. They've got their new Nissan Leaf, the Jaguar is there. They've got their I-Pace on the stand, and then they've got the tech zone, or the electric lane, or electric avenue, as they call it.
Tell me, I'm clearly, this is obviously, the trend is towards electric, but are you going to be posting pictures of this up on Auto Trader's social media so we can go and have a look?
Yeah, absolutely. That's going to be happening between today and over the next couple of days. They've also got the Rolls-Royce 1-off Phantom at the show. I went to have a look at it yesterday and took a couple of photographs, which was built to celebrate its 115-year anniversary. This one-off version of the Rolls-Royce will be auctioned off later this year to celebrate Britain's mark of 115-year anniversary.
Sounds amazing. So, what does that look like inside?
It's well, you're not allowed to get inside. It's got a big red red cord around it, so you can't quite get near it. But you know, if I can sneak into it, I'm going to
take some pictures of that for us. Ben is very much on the market for one of those,
for sure.
Oh yeah, no, I'm sure he is. I'm sure he is, Ben. It suits you.
All right, George. Well, listen, enjoy London, and if you see anything and you hear anything, obviously let us know, and we'll be following you on Instagram, on Twitter, on social media, on Facebook, all the rest of it. So give us the info.
Definitely will.
All right. Thank you very much. George Meany is live in London. You too. It's always nice when we talk to George because I know that it's Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Well, Claire, thank you for popping by.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. I think one of the areas that I'm most interested in is the way that cars and phones are now working together. Mm. And a lot of these car companies have realized that they've built their own system. It's usually rubbish.
Yeah.
They should just let like Apple or Google or Amazon or whoever else it is put the stuff in.
And the sound behind it as well, I think. Sounds important for people in their cars.
Very important. Yeah. Because you can listen to things while you're driving. It doesn't necessarily cause accidents, but looking at things does. All right. Well, very exciting to have you back, and I'm sure we'll talk to you soon, but thanks for popping by. And we can follow you and find you on?
On Twitter, you can find me at Claire Petra, and Instagram, Claire Petra, and then I have
C-L-A-R-E.
Yes.
Petra.
Yes. And my site is gadget-gal.com.
Very good.
Thank you.
Go and take a look at all of that. Thank you so much. All right. Just before we wrap it up, did you know that downloading a typical hour of cliffcentral.com uses as little as 13 megs of data? It's just about nothing, right, Claire?
Mm.
It's bugger all.
It's nothing. Yeah.
You scroll through Instagram for like 30 seconds, it's more than that.
Yeah.
Even that might be too much for some people. Then Telkom's Lit Bundles are a game changer. Access music services, TV series, movies, games, YouTube, and now even Cliff Central streaming and podcasts without using data. You can get to cliffcentral.com for a step-by-step guide on how to get lit with Telkom. Go to our website. It's right there. Click on the banner. And you will be sorted.
We have a biggie coming up at 8 o'clock. This is our interview with Jason and Ian Daly. Jason is the Parktown Boys High School student who actually exposed the water polo coach, Colin Rex.
Mm. Yeah, who's subsequently been sent to jail.
It's
a very, very moving, very harrowing story of what kinds of things go on in some of South Africa's most elite schools. I mean, you think when you send your kids there that they're safe, you think that these traditions are harmless, you think that the teachers are there to look after them, to oversee, you know, stupid stuff that students get up to, when the teachers themselves are involved in it.
Yeah. This is quite an exclusive. It's the first time we hear from him because he's now 18 years old. He's able to speak publicly, and he tells his story in his own words.
That's right. So if you want to hear something really, really interesting, that is coming up next. Let us take a look at what's in the unnews before we say goodbye this morning. So, a few stories that you probably will be asked about at work today. Here they are for your edification. The WhatsApp hacking scandal seems to be a storm in a teacup. You don't run the risk of being hacked. Well, unless you're a human rights lawyer saying bad things about Mark Zuckerberg. Those are the only people being hacked because lizards are quite sensitive creatures. Prince Harry and Meghan Markle have decided to leave London in order to get some peace and quiet with their newborn child. That's the story they're telling the press anyway. The truth is, they're tired of Prince Philip calling the toddler Jughead and asking when he'll be old enough to start paying his way in the family. And finally, Brooks Koepka is leading the way at the PGA Champs after shooting a 63 while playing with a struggling Tiger Woods. Woods said he's simply on another level at the moment. It'll be tough to beat. But the one plus about Koepka leading is that Woods can get to the clubhouse before him and ply his hot yoga instructor with cocktails until she downward dogs him. That's what Tiger's really in it for. All right, be good. We will see you on Monday, bright and early. Have an excellent weekend in the company of cliffcentral.com. And don't do anything Leanne wouldn't do, at least not before warning the police. What? Don't laugh. You know it's true.
This is CliffCentral.com.